Greetings, everyone. As most of you know, I have a van service, and I have a wonderful opportunity of taking people to doctor's appointments, to dentist appointments, which I don't like, and other appointments. And the Mennonites call it taxi service. That's what they call it. So I'm a taxi driver, I guess you can call me. But this week, while I was driving, I had the wonderful opportunity to look around and watch the scenery that we are experiencing this time of the year. I saw wonderful blessings of pumpkins in the fields. And did you know there's at least four different colored pumpkins? There's orange, which everybody thinks about. There's tan, which is kind of like a beige tan color. There's a white pumpkin. I never knew there was a white pumpkin. And a blue pumpkin. So it's pretty interesting. As I was traveling around, I saw all these different colored pumpkins, and I thought, wow, our God is a God of color. He loves colors, and there are variations of different things in the scenery around us. I also noticed the trees. It's amazing how the trees suddenly are changing colors. Now, I wore yellow today because I thought I'd talk about a little bit of this. The trees are changing to yellow. I saw orange. I saw red. And it's only September. The feast is still a little bit away. The holy days are a little bit away, but still, we're in that season, brethren. It's amazing how we are finally finding ourselves in a very short time, the fall festival season. God's festival is a wonderful, blessed opportunity for each and every one of us. We have the wonderful opportunity of knowing the plan of God and what He plans to do with the four holy day season in the fall festival season. Our Heavenly Father considers these days very important because the messages that they give us, the understanding of what these days portray, has a wonderful purpose of God's plan, what He's doing with mankind. And of course, we can think about the 4 days, but in God's realm, He emphasizes it in Leviticus 23. And if you'll turn there for just a minute, over to Leviticus 23. Now, this most of us has memorized. Growing up as a teenager in the church, I remember hearing sermons about the holy days and especially Leviticus 23, where it gives a full listing of the holy days. But notice, and I want to emphasize just a couple verses here in Leviticus 23. Verse 1, it says, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feast of the Lord, which shall be proclaimed to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts." So I want to start off with my sermon today is emphasizing these are the feasts of the Lord. Many people say, oh, they're Old Testament. They're done away with. God has not done away with His feast days. That is the whole understanding of what God is doing for mankind is through the holy days as we learn, as we attend services. And so many people don't want to keep these days. And unfortunately, some have actually kept them at one time and no longer keeping them. And so they've lost in their heart the full meaning of what these days are all about. And why do we keep these days? Now, I'm not going to go into in-depth subject of the four feast days, because I'll save that for the feast days. I'm going to talk a little bit about the feast days today, but my main purpose today is to give you a sense of urgency of keeping these days, because they're so wonderful. They're such a blessing, and we can grow, especially draw close to God through these holy days. That's what I want to talk about today, how we can grow and how we can fully appreciate and keep them in our hearts. Because if they're not in our hearts, brethren, it's so easy to walk away and to say, I'm tired of it. I don't want to keep them any longer. And unfortunately, some have fallen into that trap. Jesus tells us that these days are holy, and that they're holy because God is a big part in them. And as we study the holy days and what they do picture, we come to understand that the convocations that we're commanded to come together to the place where He assembles is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to come to celebrate It's a great time of joy. It's a wonderful time of rejoicing. Wonderful time, brethren. And if you've kept the holy days for any length of time, you can understand what he's saying here. A time of great celebration, a great time of joy, and it's a time of fully enjoying what God has commanded us to observe. Now, we're 18 days. I counted it. This time of the year, I have a tendency to count. Now, we count Pentecost, of course, 50 days. But then when, as we get into the fall, I start counting, how many days is it to the fall festival season? Well, there's 18 days as we start keeping the fall festival holy days. Starting at sunset on October 18th, we will be observing the Feast of Trumpets. Following on October 11th, sunset on October 11th, we'll be keeping the Day of Atonement. Then starting on October 16th at sunset, we'll be keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. And it will conclude on October 24th with the Last Great Day. Now, when I think of these four holy days that God gives us, there's so much meaning to all these days. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on these 4 days specifically, but I want to talk about trumpets. We'll start with trumpets. Over in 1 Corinthians, if you'll turn there. 1 Corinthians, and we'll look at one of my favorite chapters because, as I explained, it has so much meaning not only for God, for mankind, but even for each and every one of us. 1 Corinthians, we'll look at chapter 15. Now, we understand when the Feast of Trumpets pictures a time. I'm too far back. My Bible's sticking together here for some reason. They just won't. Come on. Here we go. Corinthians. Trumpets pictures a time when Jesus Christ will come back to earth, not just as a human being like he did before, but in great power and great glory and great disrupting of the world. The world is in such a turmoil at this state, and Jesus Christ is coming back to clean it up, to restore righteousness back on the earth, and he's going to bring his kingdom with him. But one thing he will bring also, in 1 Corinthians, we'll look at chapter 15, we'll look at verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and notice, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must be put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So then, when corruptible shall be put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? What a wonderful time to know the dead in Christ will rise again. And we can think of all our loved ones, Edwin, Gladys, Robert. We can think about Dennis, and for me personally, Linda. We will see them again. What a wonderful understanding that trumpet is a wonderful time that we'll be reunited with our loved ones. And that should bring so much joy to each and every one of us as we observe these days to realize God gives us another opportunity to be together. 1 Thessalonians, we'll just turn back to 1 Thessalonians quickly. 1 Thessalonians, we'll look at chapter 4. Again, with the same idea in my mind, I'm emphasizing right now the resurrection. That's part of the trumpets, but Christ is going to come and restore righteousness on the earth, and that's what we're all looking forward to. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we'll look at verse 13. But I would have you not to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are asleep. Again, I emphasize the ones that are waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. Concerning those that are asleep, that they sorrow, that we don't sorrow, even as others who have no hope, because we have hope, brethren. We have a tremendous hope to look forward to see these individuals that we've missed so much. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, those who are asleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. Brethren, what a wonderful understanding to know that the Feast of Trumpets is a wonderful time that we'll be reunited with everyone that we miss dearly. You can read Revelations about the events that lead up to the return of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to go into that. You'll hear a sermon on the Feast of Trumpets about the events that lead up to the return of Jesus Christ. It's going to be a terrible time. There's going to be so much confusion, so much mess in the world, but Christ is coming back to correct that. The Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement is a unique day in the fact that we think about Satan and what he's done to this world, what he's done to mankind, and all the evil he's done in the world. And we realize the Day of Atonement is his time of being bound. He will no longer influence society for a period of time, for about 1,000 years. We can read about that over in Revelation, if you want to turn to Revelation chapter 20. It says in verse 1, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the keys of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil." So here's what's going to happen on the Day of Atonement with, not specifically necessarily that day, but during that time period. He'll be bound and be put in the bottomless pit. It says verse 3, "And he'll be cast into the bottomless pit and be shut up and set a seal upon him that he should not deceive the nations." And that's what he's done. He's deceived so many people. And even ones who knew God's truth, he's deceived them to cause them to turn away and not have the joy of what these holy days are all about in their hearts. It says, "And he'll be bound till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and then he'll be loose for a little season." Now, again, I'm not going to talk a whole lot about Day of Atonement because that's another holy day that we'll be hearing messages, or at least one message, two with a sermonette, if we have a sermonette that day. And then it'll be emphasizing, of course, Satan being bound. And the world will rejoice when Satan is no longer influencing the world and don't have any power over anything. He's bound in chains in the bottomless pit. He'll be frustrated, like Brandon said, tremendously frustrated. But we can rejoice because he will no longer influence society. Now, you can read Romans 16, verse 20, if you want to refer to that. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, in reference to the Day of Atonement. I just refer to some of those scriptures. Then we come to the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, the Feast of Tabernacles, when I was growing up as a teenager, I never experienced the Feast of Tabernacles before. And so I attended Mount Pocono for the very first time. I was 16. And I said, "Wow, look at all these people." And I literally mean, wow. We're talking thousands and thousands of people. I've heard as many as 13,000 were in the Poconos back then. And it was breathtaking to realize God has called so many people to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. It's going to be a wonderful time again. We don't have those numbers right now, but in the future we'll have those numbers once again, and even greater numbers of people keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. You can read about that over in Micah chapter 4. Because of time, I'm just going to refer to that, Micah chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. And of course, when you think about Feast of Tabernacles, the peace, the harmony, the joy that we're all going to look forward to, no longer influenced by Satan and all the terrible things that have happened in the world, it's going to be a time of rebuilding, as Isaiah talks about. Even the animals will be changed. They'll have different personalities, no longer vicious, attacking personalities, but rather loving and kind, that you can have pets. Can you imagine having a pet lion? Children would say, "Oh, a lion." They'll be able to pet it and hug it, and any other animal creature that you have. You know, some say snakes. Now, I don't like snakes. But in the millennium period of time, in the Feast of Tabernacle time, I'll pet them. And that's probably as close as I'll get to them yet. But we'll all learn to adjust to the animal kingdom, because it will definitely be a different time where animals that are vicious and attacking will no longer be vicious. It'll be a wonderful time. You can read about that over in Isaiah 11. I'm just going to refer to that quickly. But when the Feast of Tabernacles is fulfilled, water will flow from Jerusalem and restore all the terrible pollutions that took place in the world, all the air pollution that happened. That will all be cleaned up. the whole world will be restored once again. And it'll be a paradise for a short period of time, for 1,000 years. Then we talk about the last great day. Now, because of time, I'm going to keep moving along. I'm just going to refer to Revelation 20, verse 5, and then Revelation 20, verses 11 through 13, where it talks about the last great day. And again, we'll be hearing messages at the Feast of Tabernacles with the last great day messages. So that's just a brief synopsis. I want to give you a little bit of foretaste of what some of the messages will be about. But my emphasis is, brethren, we need to be there. So if you want a title for the sermon, I thought about, what do I title this? Feast Fever, Do You Have It? I thought I'd title it, Feast Fever, Do You Have It? And I'm talking about all the feasts, not just the Feast of Tabernacles, which so many look forward to and rejoicing for a long period of time, 8 days at the Feast of Tabernacles, but for the whole entire time. Feast Fever, Do You Have It? Brethren, God has given us a wonderful blessing to know his plan for mankind, what he plans to do with these holy days, giving the full understanding. God says that he'll never leave us or forsake us. He tells us, and I'm going to refer over in some of the scriptures here, John chapter 6. Let's look at John chapter 6. I'm going to go to a different, but I'm going to come back to about never leaving us. I want to go to John because of time. Again, I want to, it's already lunchtime. John chapter 6, and we'll look at 44. This is where it all began. When I was a teenager, I wasn't in the church. I was doing all kinds of things outside the church, and looking back on that, you say, boy, how foolish you were as a teenager growing up. I was into music. I was into sports. I was into all kinds of things. And it was turning me away from God. Actually, I wasn't seeking God at the time. But verse 44 is where it starts. No man can come unto me except the Father has drawn me, and I will raise him up at the last day. So it all starts with God calling us. Now, he worked through my parents, and all of you who have been called have been called in various ways. But as he called you and you came to understand what God's purpose is for mankind, you came to learn about the holy days and what they meant, and you came and had the opportunity to observe and keep them. It's so important. He created for us the opportunity to receive spiritual born into his family. Now, just think about that for a minute. We have the opportunity to be born into his spiritual family. That is awesome, brethren. So many people look at physical, temporary, and they're worried about living long lives. And I often thought about that. Linda was 65. That's, to me, not long. But she lived a full life, and she's looking forward to the spiritual opportunity of being born into the kingdom of God. And that's what these holy days are picturing. We will all be together in the kingdom of God. What a wonderful understanding. He sent Jesus Christ to save us from the penalty of sin. And so Jesus Christ, through the Passover and the days of unleavened bread, we learned that Jesus Christ became our Passover lamb. And he paved the way. But first he called us. He called us into his understanding of his marvelous truths. And he gave us an opportunity. What we do with that opportunity is so important, brethren. We need to draw close to God. And these holy days allow us the opportunity to draw close to God as we continue to observe them. He works in many different ways. I often thought about how he called people in so many different ways. I've heard different stories over the years, and I'm just amazed. One individual told me, he said his parents taught him from when he was little, but he didn't want to keep them. He saw his friends weren't keeping them, and he said, I didn't really want to keep them because I wanted to be with my friends. But as he got older, he became a teenager, and he started to realize, okay, I've got to put my life in order. So many of us can kind of relate to that. You know, we don't always have the full joy and want to do what God tells us these days are all about, but we come to grow in grace and knowledge and understanding. And that grace and knowledge teaches us what we need to do. It's not just, okay, here it is, instantly pours it in our head. It's little by little. We learn little by little, a little bit knowledge here, a little bit knowledge there. And we all grow in different ways. We all grow in grace and knowledge in different ways. And so it's an opportunity for us to draw closer to Him with each and every passing holy day. I get more excited probably for the fall holy day season because of Linda, with her passing. It just reminds me, the wonderful time we had together will be together again in the future. And so it encourages me. It gets me motivated. It stirs me up, brethren, when I think about, I'm going to see Linda again. We're all going to see our loved ones. We're all going to be together. We all will have an opportunity of see all these events fulfilled in the future. For those who are alive, they'll see the events. For those who are in the grave or waiting for the return of Jesus Christ to be resurrected. If that doesn't stir you up, I don't know what does. Because to me, when I think about the holy days, what they picture, the wonderful, fabulous understanding of what our Heavenly Father, with His precious love He has for all of mankind, gives everyone the opportunity to know these truths. Brethren, it's a wonderful time. Over in Hebrews, if we turn back to Hebrews, sometimes people, they look at their lives and they say, well, I've messed up so many times and God could never, ever forgive me for things that I've done over the times. Hebrews 13, we'll look at verse 5. But brethren, notice what we read here over in Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conversations be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So even if we've messed up, and some have messed up, God is always willing to forgive you and be there for you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never cast you aside and say, ah, I'm done with them. He could have done that easily with ancient Israel. They made a lot of mistakes. But they're going to be in the kingdom of God. Many of those individuals will be in the kingdom of God. We can think of many individuals who made mistakes in the Bible. But the important thing is we come to understand the kingdom of God, when it is fully established, it'll be there for all of mankind, not just certain ones. As some people think, oh, that's just for certain groups or certain individuals. No, it's for all of mankind. God's whole plan was designed for all of mankind, not just a few, not just some. And you can read James 4, verse 8, where it says, draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. And that's why I want to emphasize, too, is the fact we need to draw near to one to God. And one of the ways we can do that is keeping the holy days. Now, I had mentioned about individuals attending the feast for years, and then suddenly they decided to turn away. Brethren, we can't do that. If we turn away from God, we can eventually lose salvation. It's as simple as that. And God gives us the ability to stay faithful. He gives us His Holy Spirit. Through the Feast of Pentecost, we receive the Holy Spirit. That holy day enables us to be strong and stand in the Lord, to be faithful, to endure all things, whatever life brings us. And we all have situations, like Brandon mentioned, you never know the frustrations that we have to deal with in life. I had a situation this week. My transmission in my van went out. And that was the van I was planning to go to the feast in, and I'm thinking, okay, plan A is not working. What do I do next? Plan B is my car. But I still have to haul people as my taxi service. So I'm thinking, okay, clink, 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 clink. There goes the miles. It's adding up. But, you know, God does provide. So fortunately, Ed was willing to take my van to the transmission shop, and he delivered it for me. And we'll see. Maybe I'll have the transmission repair before the feast, all the holy days. It's, like I mentioned, 18 days. That sounds like a long time, 18 days, but that's coming up very quick. So the point I want to emphasize is, brethren, we got to be ready for these holy days. We can't just wait till they come and then say, okay, now I got to do these things. Sometimes when you think, okay, I'll wait a little bit, I'll do these things a little bit later, situation like a transmission can go out on you or something else could happen. I find that Satan uses around the holy day season ways of frustrating us, of disturbing us, upsetting us, and sometimes changing our plans. Plans to say, okay, well, maybe I'll have to stay local. Maybe I can't. And one year it happened to Linda and I. When Linda was dealing with cancer, we couldn't go to the feast because suddenly she had cancer. And out of all the years that I was keeping as a teenager into my youthful years and then into my senior years, I look back at that and I start thinking, wow, I was so blessed. I only missed the Feast of Tabernacles one time out of over 60 years. I've been keeping the feast days. What a wonderful blessing, even when sometimes you have to deal with the frustration. One of the blessings I received and Linda received while we were at home, people came from the feast of Lancaster to visit with us and spend time with us. And I feel for those who can't go to the feast. I think often they miss so much. The fellowship, the wonderful opportunity of rejoicing before God. And they're all alone at home. Now, they have the videos. They can watch the sermons at home. But, you know, it's not the same, brethren. So pray for those who can't go to the feasts, the holy days. Observe them. Pray for them. And we hear announcements of individuals who are dealing with cancer, and life-threatening cancer, like Valerie mentioned. I don't know if that's cancer. No, okay, it's not cancer, but it's still a health situation that's life-threatening. Brethren, pray for these people, because many of them are going to, who can't go to the feast days, will have the opportunity to be in the kingdom of God. We all have the opportunity. It says the feast is a wonderful, it's a high point of the year. And I have to say, it is for me. When I was growing up, I remember the first year we came into the church. Now, I wasn't keeping tithe at the time, so we started in June of that year. That was 66. And I thought about that. How can I go to a feast? I only got like $300. Started keeping tithe then. And we couldn't. We couldn't go to the feast then as a teenager. And everybody was all excited. Everybody was anxious. They were looking forward to the Feast of Tabernacles especially. And I was thinking, what am I missing? I've never been to the Feast of Tabernacles. So the next year, I had the opportunity to go. And like I said, what a shock, looking at thousands and thousands of people keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. I said, I didn't realize there was that many in the church when I thought about that. But yeah, we can fully come to the point and fully appreciate what God has given us. God has given us his truths. God has given us his plan for mankind. He's revealed them through the holy days. And we are the ones that have the opportunity to observe at this time. Now, everyone will have an opportunity in the future. We can read about that over in Isaiah chapter 2. Again, because of time, I'm just going to refer to Isaiah chapter 2. It talks about the times of the latter days. It says, when the mountain of the Lord of the house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations will flow to it. So eventually all nations will come to know about the feast days. We can also read about in Isaiah chapter 3, many people will come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the Lord of Jacob. He will teach us his ways. We're being taught now. These individuals will be taught later. They will have the wonderful opportunity to be taught later to learn that. Come to and then be exalted. It says, he will teach us his ways and we will walk in his paths, it says in Isaiah. So these are all wonderful scriptures to think about. Not just for ourselves, but for those who will have the opportunity in the future. What a wonderful blessing to know that, to understand that. Mankind will always be susceptible to Satan in this present world. And that's why when we think about the Day of Atonement and the binding of Satan, that he will no longer have that lure to sin upon mankind. Mankind will have the freedom separated from the influences of Satan. So again, a wonderful blessing to know that he'll bring mankind into a pure relationship with God, our Heavenly Father, and Jesus Christ. We'll all have that opportunity. There won't be sin. Now, the temptation will not be there. There'll still be going through the transition. it's not going to be an instant. Everybody's happy, everybody's joy, and there's no more sin in the world. It's a transition period. That's what the millennium is all about, a transition period. It'll start slow, but it will gradually build up. And that's a wonderful understanding. It says, the Feast of Holy Days is going to be such a wonderful time for each and every one of us. It's a wonderful blessing. I hope you're excited. I hope you're excited for not only just the spring holy days that we just observed in the Pentecost, but now these future ones that we're about to observe within the next 18 days. Brethren, I get excited when, and I've got feast fever, I have to say, and then say, wow, it's you still got 18 days. Yeah, I'm counting them. I'm counting the days down, and I will continue to do that. And even the Mennonites, when they approach me, they say, you're going to this in the fall. I said, yep, the Feast of Tabernacles. And you're going for 2 weeks. I said, well, it'll accumulate about 2 weeks when I get all the traveling days and everything in between. Why? Why? They even asked, why do you keep that? And I said, because of the commandment from God in Leviticus 23. And I go over. So it gives me an opportunity to talk to many individuals. I don't try to preach to them. I let them ask questions, and I'll answer whatever questions they have. We also have the opportunity, when we're at the various feast sites, we can see people that we, restaurants, we can set example for them. And if they ask, why are you here? Don't be afraid to say, to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, or to keep the Last Great Day, or if it's atonement, during the Days of Atonement. When we go out to the restaurant after the Day of Atonement, and people, man, you people eat a lot. Yeah, we just fasted. So you can maybe even talk about that if you have the opportunity. But, you know, these holy days, which what they picture, is a wonderful opportunity for us to share with others in the future. We can read about Zephaniah. I'm going to refer to Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, if you want to write that down. The Lord your God is in your midst. So our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ will be in the midst. The mighty one who will save the world. He will rejoice over your gladness, because we'll have gladness, and he will quiet you by his love. So all the holy days are centered around love. So I wanted to emphasize that. Now, what are the symptoms? What are some of the characteristics of feast fever? I thought I'd talk a little bit about what some of the characteristics of feast fever are. Extreme thankfulness. I put that as number one. Brethren, we have been truly blessed, and we should be truly thankful to have the knowledge and understanding of what these holy days are all about. God could have called anybody. He has that ability to call anybody. But he chose you, and he chose me personally. Like I say, he called us. He gave us his Holy Spirit, and he enabled us to understand his plan for mankind. We should truly be thankful and fully appreciate all that he does for us and what these days are all about. A second one is humble. We should be humble. God called us, the weak and the frail things that are in society. He says he calls the weak and frail things. And we should be humble at the fact that we have the opportunity to keep these holy days. And that should bring great humility to be able to say, God has called us personally, and we should fully be humbled by that. We should be rededicated to God. Every time the holy days come around, we should be rededicated. It should encourage, it stir us up, get us motivated to be rededicated back to God. During the year, we get pulls throughout the year, and sometimes, like I say, we don't take the full time to pray and Bible study like we should sometimes. The feast days allow us the opportunity to rededicate ourselves back to God. Take more time to study, to pray. Listen to the messages that we're going to be hearing. A fourth characteristic of feast fever is determined to stay faithful. Keep the holy days, brethren. Make them a part of your life for the rest of your life. Keep them in your heart. If they're in your heart, you will fully appreciate them, and you'll stay faithful. You'll endure to the end, as the Bible tells us. He who endures the end will be saved. We can't go halfway. We can't go three quarters, as I've said before. We got to be dedicated to stay faithful and determined. With God's Holy Spirit, we can be faithful. And then a fifth point of Feast Fever is growing grace and knowledge. We have a wonderful opportunity of not only growing in grace, but in knowledge about what these holy days are all about. We'll hear messages. I didn't actually count them. One year I did count them, but I forgot what that number was. Maybe some of you know what that number is. How many sermons, sermonettes, messages, Bible studies that you get to hear during the fall festival season? It's a lot. If you take the time to count them up, it's a lot. When we look into the Bible and we read about the holy days, that should stir us up and motivate us to think, okay, what a wonderful blessing we have, an opportunity to live these days in our physical life. We'll live them in the spiritual life when the kingdom is established, and we'll look forward to our loved ones again, and we'll have the opportunity to be with them. What a love of truth should be deep in our hearts. And we want to hold on to these doctrinal teachings, especially ones like the holy days and the full meaning. Think about how your calling took place. Think about when God called you. How did he call you? Did he call you instantly for some? It's amazing. Others said they learned through other individuals. My grandfather was one of the ones that taught us. He was keeping the knowledge of God, but he didn't go to church. He didn't attend church, but he gave us a lot of the literature that my mother received. And so in some ways, my calling came through my grandfather. It's how my calling came through. And eventually, from my grandfather to my mother and father, and then eventually I learned about the holy. And then I tried to teach them to my children. And I encourage my children to hold on to them. Now, I know, Elias, times go by and things can change, but, you know, we have to hold it deep in our hearts and realize that our Heavenly Father has blessed us greatly. We are so fortunate to hold on to the teachings that God has given us. Now, I want to refer once again, in 18 days, we have the wonderful opportunity of keeping the fall festival season. It starts with the Feast of Trumpets, which is a blowing of trumpets. It leads to the events of Jesus Christ returning, setting up the government of God upon the earth, our loved ones resurrected, having a family reunion. What a family reunion we're going to have when that happens. The Day of Atonement that takes place. Satan will be bound. He'll be chained and put in the bottomless pit. No longer influencing society. No longer causing the turmoil, the pain, the sorrow, the hate that Satan creates. Because he hates God's plans. He hates God's holy days. And he'll do everything he can to destroy mankind from keeping them. And then the Feast of Tabernacles, the wonderful period of time when there'll be peace and harmony on the earth. Waters will flow from Jerusalem, cleaning up the pollution that's in the world. The air will be restored. There'll be knowledge as all over the mankind will have the opportunity to know our Heavenly Father's plan for mankind. Brethren, do you have feast fever? Now, some of you may say, not yet. Well, good. Start developing it. I want you to encourage you. Get motivated. Think about what these holy days are all about. Rejoice. We're told to come and rejoice before our Heavenly Father in Jesus Christ. What a wonderful time. What a wonderful blessing to know the plans of God. And brethren, it's all going to happen very quickly. 18 days sounds like a long time, but it's going to go by very quickly. I thought about two Sabbaths, then we'll be keeping trumpets, and then another Sabbath, and then we'll be coming up to Atonement, and then many will be leaving, sometimes even before, for the Feast of Tabernacles, before Atonement. So many of us will be gone, traveling to various destinations that we're going to be going to. I want to encourage you all to have a wonderful fall festival season. Take the time to stay close to God. Be inspired by the messages we'll be hearing. Pray for the messages. Ask God to cause inspiration upon those who will be speaking. I know we have some here that will be speaking at the feast. And encourage God to motivate all of us to get close to him. Use the time, draw the time, stay close to God. And keep these holy days and all the plan of God in our hearts.